Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So as many of you probably know, I usually do the show from my home in Southern California. But today I'm on the road. I'm talking to you from a conference, Freedom Fest. Freedom Fest is an annual conference. It's held in Las Vegas at the Planet Hollywood Casino. You might hear some background noise as people shuffle in and out of different rooms, and I'm literally in the main corridor here, so there's a lot of activity around me. So I apologize for any distractions, any noise, but you know, you're listening to your Ron Brook Show, this time from Las Vegas. And you know, this conference is, you know, you get a lot of conservatives, a lot of libertarians. It's really a freedom festival, lots of different talks, lots of different debates. And so it was a big debate on capitalism versus socialism. I've spoken on inequality. As you all know, I have a book called Equal is Unfair. If you haven't bought the book, Equal is Unfair, you should. If you want to understand the whole issue of equality, of the whole perspective on, you know, the left's attack on inequality and wealth in America and success in America, Equal is Unfair is the book that you should really be, you know, you should be reading, and it'll give you unbelievable intellectual ammunition to fight against those who would destroy this country by teaching us to resent success and the successful. But so I spoke about the book. I spoke about a number of other things. The panels, discussions, and their movies. There's actually a movie festival. It's called the Anthem Movie. I think it's called Anthem, named after Ayn Rand's famous little novelette called Anthem, which, again, you should all be reading, and you should have all read already. It's a fabulous story about the conflict between individualism and collectivism. One of the events I attended and actually spoke on was a movie, a documentary. They have a competition here, a documentary competition. And this documentary is called The Climate Hustle. Climate Hustle. And it was fascinating. A lot of it I already knew, but it's always to see it presented. And it really is a presentation of what is going on in the whole climate debate, you know, the global warming, the world is coming to an end debate. And it really got me thinking about all these the world is coming to an end phenomena that seems to reoccur over and over and over again. You seem to keep getting this notion of the end of the world is coming. Wanted to share a little bit of my thoughts about that, about climate change, about what I learned from the movie, what I think you could learn from the movie, but more broader than that, just to talk about why are human beings so susceptible to these ideas of doom and gloom, of the world is coming to an end, of, you know, Armageddon is just around the corner. So we're going to broaden this from climate to a bunch of other topics in which I think people just exaggerate the risks, they overemphasize the negative, they can't see the positive, and we live in fear when we don't need to live in fear. We worry, we live with anxiety when we don't need to live with anxiety, and we miss out on a lot of things. Climate is a great example of this. Look, you know, now for 30 years, it's 30 years since the early 90s. We've been told, 20 years, for 20 years, sorry, for 20 years, we've been told that the Earth is warming, that the sea levels are going to rise, and Florida's going to flood, New York's going to disappear, and hundreds of millions of people are going to die. And this is not just some crazy nut environmentalist. This is Al Gore, presidential candidate, vice president of the United States, has been advocating for this, has been pushing this idea, scaring the bejesus out of people, particularly young kids, because they get this in kindergarten, in primary school. they get indoctrinated into this idea that man, you know, the fact that we emit carbon dioxide into the air is causing the earth to warm, and that this warming is going to have, you know, horrific, disastrous consequences on human life soon, any day now. And if you don't stop driving your automobile, if you don't stop consuming lots of electricity, you are responsible. It's all your fault. Up with guilt about the end of the world, and the end of the world's not coming. It hasn't come yet. None of the predictions have become real. And yet, we still buy into this. We still buy into it. So the movie really did a good job of interviewing scientists who disagree. Scientists who used to agree about global warming and have changed their mind because they've looked more carefully at the data. Everybody agrees that the Earth has warmed over the last few decades, although the last 20 years has seen very little warming, if possibly no warming at all. Temperatures have been flat, basically, on a global scale. But that doesn't prevent people, and it used to be. Now, temperatures have been relatively... Models from 20 years ago, all the models in between have predicted the temperature should have been way higher than they are right now. So the models are proved wrong over and over and over again, and this was made clear in the movie. The warming that happened before this flatness over the last 20 years, and clearly there was warming going on, there's no proof that that was caused by human beings. Carbon dioxide levels are not at high levels in the atmosphere from historical, for the Earth's perspective, the Earth's history, not your history, the Earth's history. A lot of what you hear about global warming, about climate change, is just not true. Just not true. And what this documentary did is it interviewed all these scientists, and they commented on all these claims made by people like Al Gore about imminent catastrophe, about the death of hundreds of millions of people. And it's astounding the amount of evidence that exists out there that, you know, really contradicts what you hear from people like Gore, what you hear from the hysteria around climate change. And yet you never hear the alternative. You never hear the counterpoint in the media or in our schools or in our universities. Nobody is taught that there is an alternative, that it might not be CO2 that's causing Earth to warm, that even if it is warming, catastrophic, we're not all going to die, that indeed the Earth was warmer than it is today in the past, and it wasn't majorly catastrophic. You don't hear the alternative points of view. And one of the things, the real value of the movie is to present those ideas and give you a lot of intellectual ammunition. So I actually recommend you go out and see. It's at the theaters. You probably get DVDs, I think, in a couple of weeks. Look up Climate Hustle. The movie's called Climate Hustle. And I did a panel afterwards, and we kind of discussed the movie. And really, really interesting stuff. And one of the things that really came out is that Whenever somebody, you know, whenever they come up with these ideas about, I don't know, something's going wrong, in order to get our attention, in order for us to pay attention and to take it seriously, they have to create some catastrophic outcome that to make it real for people. And with climate change, I mean, they showed, you know, I saw a lot of the stuff that was presented by Al Gore, where, you know, he shows maps of Florida, you know, getting flooded completely, and New York underwater, and people buy this. They buy it time and time and time again. And we'll get into some other examples of people buying it. But it's just astounding to me that over and over again we buy these apocalyptic, and when they don't happen, nobody ever learns from that. We don't question. When they don't happen, you know, we just accept. And we go on to the next apocalyptic thing. We don't challenge the basic assumption of why buy into these apocalyptic predictions to begin with. So Climate Hustle, go get the movie. If you want to talk about climate change,
want to talk about why people tend to believe the world is in such bad shape, why we get conned by these con artists who predict disaster. Why is the news always focused on the negative and we almost never have stories about the positive? What is it about us that you know, feeds off of negative news, of pessimism, of the end of the world? You can call in 312-642-5600, 312-642-0. You're listening to the Yaron Brook Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Yaron Brook, YONBROOK. Same thing on Facebook. Like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Listen in every Saturday at 4 p.m. and call in after this break. Talk to you soon.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree, taking a look at traffic. Earlier today, we had the Rock and Roll Chicago Half Marathon, and Balbo and Jackson were shut down in Grant Park. Take care of that. Still waiting on those streets to open back up. Eden's in Lake Hook to the Junction at 36. Kennedy Inn O'Hare to downtown 56 from the Junction 26. You flip it, it's under a half hour back out to the airport. Eichen from 53. That's now an hour and 2 minutes from Mannheim 40. There was an earlier wreck around Racine, so it's a still slow go western to Racine. The flip looks good. Stevenson in 355 to the drive at 45. Back out 41. The Ryan in 95th to downtown at 20. It does start to clog a bit around 31st. And also Tri-State northbound between Reagan Memorial and the Ike, still jammed. It's 76 and partly sunny tonight, 67 and clear. Tomorrow, 82 and thunderstorms. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You wake up in the morning and you want to know what's going on and what happened while you were asleep. You could grab your smartphone and wade through endless cat videos. Or you could listen to that other radio station, you know, that's talking about last night's ball game.
Winning records for starting pitchers matter anymore.
Or you could turn on Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson and get up to speed fast with the latest news, traffic, and weather on AM 560, The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Attention market watchers, until recently the market hadn't seen back-to-back days of 500-point losses since November of 2008. What if you had no market exposure? What if you didn't have to worry about the markets? How would you sleep? Leave the volatility behind. Hi, this is Jack Tabota. Our proprietary income strategies provide reliable, inflation-protected income, guaranteed for life, with no market exposure. Call me at 630-777-7955. That's 630-777-7955. You've worked hard to build your wealth. I work hard to protect it. 630-777-7955.
Insurance products may be presented and guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the insurance company represented. Securities offered through ProEquities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Harvest Investment Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Tabota & Associates and Harvest Investment Services, LLC, are independent of ProEquities, Inc.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, so today we're talking about the climate hustle, the hustle, the surrounding, the whole global warming, climate change, the end of the world that is coming, attitude, all that. We're going to talk about why we're so vulnerable to that. Why do we accept that so easily? And what is the motivation behind it? Because in spite of the fact that they keep saying 97% of all scientists agree to this, that's a complete bogus number, a complete, utterly bogus number. The science is clearly unsettled, and almost, put it this way, very few people think that this issue is catastrophic. Very few scientists think this issue is catastrophic. So how do they get away with all the lying? Why don't we call them on it? Why do we seem to just accept it? Why do our intellectuals just fold? Our politicians just fold? What is it about the whole issue of climate change that is so, if you will, appealing to people? Because we want to believe that we are causing the end of the world. At least that's what it seems like to me. All right, we got Skyla on the line. Skyla from Delaware. Hey, Skyla, how's it going? Skyla, I cannot hear you. Why can't I hear Skyla? All right, I can't hear Skyla. Skyla, you there? All right, let's try one more time. Skyla, are you there?
Hello? Yes,
hey,
sir.
Hey, now I can hear you. That's better. There you go.
All right.
What's up?
Since you're talking about the climate and people were talking about the climate change, environmentalism as a whole, do you believe it's like a new form of religion? And that there's mystical overtones of people who are saying that the end of the world is coming?
Yes, I absolutely. What's happened is that environmentalism more broadly and the whole climate change issue has become a religious issue. They accept it on faith. It has all the characteristics of religion. It start with the fact that, you have original sin, right? And your original sin is to be alive. And that is true in many religions, and that is certainly true. That is certainly true with climate change, right? Because being alive means you have a carbon footprint. It means you're consuming carbon. You're putting it out there into the world. And by doing that, supposedly that's a sin. That's a bad thing. And right? And it, climate change has this Armageddon. The end of the world is coming, and what must you do? You must sacrifice. And if you sacrifice, maybe you'll be spared. Right? And the sacrifice means the destruction of the life as you know it, because you have to stop using carbon fuels. And just think about what that would mean. Every product you're surrounded with, it was either produced because of energy from carbon fuel, or is made of carbon fuel. In the world is from carbon fuel from oil. So, yeah, I think the environmentalist movement generally and the climate change are very much have the attributes of religion. They rely on emotion. They rely on faith. Faith is an emotion, after all. They rely on emotion of faith. They have the guise of science. They try to pretend that they are scientific, but they're actually anti-science. They're the opposite of science. And one of the ways you know they're the opposite of science is they don't want to have a debate. They don't want to discuss it. Right? We've got now attorney generals going after so-called climate change deniers, in an attempt to violate their free speech. So I think you're absolutely right.
You there, Thank Skyla? You, Doctor.
Oh, sure. Anytime. Thanks for calling. So, yes, I think, I think the science is at best debatable, but nobody wants to have the debate. You're not allowed to have an opposite view of climate change. You're not allowed to present up an alternative to that. You immediately turn to deny. And you know why they use denier, climate change denier? The movie Climate Hustle, actually, they talk about this. But, I've known this for a while. They use it in order to link it up with Holocaust denier. And Holocaust denier is, like, despicable, right? The Holocaust, of course, happened. We have all the historical proof of that, and it really truly is immoral and despicable to be a Holocaust denier. Take this despicable idea of Holocaust denial, and they want to associate that with people who are skeptical, who don't agree with the, prevalent, I guess, scientific view about climate change by calling them deniers. I think that's disgusting. I think that is so disgusting. I think I'm going to start calling all the deniers of the benefits of capitalism deniers. I mean, it's just horrible. So you can't have a scientific debate because you're a denier. A denier of something that's obviously true, like the Holocaust. They push an agenda They don't let you discuss it. They don't let you debate it. Again, just like religion. Nobody wants to debate religion. There's dogma. And you have to accept the dogma. And if you don't, God or the prophet or somebody will strike you down. So there's a dogma. Everybody needs to accept it. You need to start out with accepting that dogma when you're very, very young with children. You need to teach them that dogma. You expect it to sacrifice for the sake of the dogma. You expect it to live in fear of the prophecy coming true. Fear and guilt because you're still consuming carbon. In spite of everything we told you, you're still consuming carbon. So now you've got guilt. It's going to be your fault. And that guilt is inculcated in little children. Again, very similar to religion. And, you know, this allows a certain class of people to gain political power because they're going to fix it. They are going to fix it. And how are they going to fix it? You're not too good enough to fix it yourself. You're not willing to sacrifice enough. You're too selfish to take care of the planet. So we're going to use coercion. We're going to force you to fix it. You need the authoritarians. You need the statists. You need the politicians. You need the people who will force you to do what's right, to do what's moral. Again, just like religion. So, yes, climate change has become the religion of the left. Environmentalism generally has become the religion of the left, and it's got all the attributes of much more ancient religions. And it's all a mechanism by which to people to control your life so that you give up your freedoms, all in the name of saving the planet. In the past, it was in the name of God. Now we're going to ask you to give up your freedoms in the name of saving the planets. And if we can inculcate that idea in you from a very young age, and since they control the schools, they can, then they've got it made. They have got it made. They are going to control. They are going to rule. They are going to be our masters. And that's what it's all about. It's about power. Now, it's more than just about power. We'll get to that in a little while. But power is a big, big part of this, a big motivation around the whole climate change. Is from the scientist's perspective, from the intellectual's perspective, and from the politician's perspective, this is a power game. And they're taking power and taking away your freedom and expecting you to sacrifice your freedom for this greater good. All right. If anybody out there wants to defend climate change and the hysteria around it, 312-642-5600. Or if you have a different explanation for why people buy into this so easily, give us a call. Let me know. I think there are a lot of different reasons, a lot of different ways to approach this. We'll talk about some of those after the break. But I'm curious to hear from you. What do you think? And where are we heading with this debate, right? What happens if Hillary wins? What happens if Trump wins? What happens to our freedoms with regard to our ability to live? Because, look, at the end of the day, I don't care how many windmills we have. I don't care how many solar panels you put in. We need oil. We need natural gas. We even need coal in order for civilization to progress. And what do you think would happen? Here's a question for you. You can call in and give me the answer. What do you think would happen to Africa if the world went off carbon fuels? No, let's say not went off. If it stopped growing carbon fuel, production. If we stopped using carbon fuels to produce electricity, what do you think would happen in Africa? Africa, the poorest continent, would they be better off? Worse off? All right, we'll deal with that after the break. I also want to talk about the fact that this global warming hysteria, in a sense, is not new. You remember we were all going to die from overpopulation? Remember we were all going to die from global cooling? Remember we were all going to die from the chemicals that we're producing, DDT and others? Every decade, there's some new catastrophe that's going to cause us all to die. And it's not just those kind of catastrophes. There are other catastrophes that are constantly imposed on us. All right. You're listening to Iran Brook Show. We'll be right back after this break. Talk to you then.
When new. news breaks.
The attacker's name was Micah Johnson. He was 25 years old.
A long way along this boardwalk, there are bodies littering the streets.
This is the place you've come to hear about.
Rumors all day yesterday had swirled that it would in fact be Mike Pence.
This is also the place you come to talk about it.
Today is a very sad day in America.
News, opinion, insight.
I got to tell you, we're furious.
AM 560. The answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. Following the failed military coup, Turkey's president is vowing those responsible will pay for their treason.
Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. He was greeted by hundreds of ecstatic supporters outside his house in Istanbul, and he had every reason to smile. Not only had his government seen off a military putsch, but members of the public had taken to the streets to fight for him.
John Sparks with Sky News. Donald Trump and running mate Governor Mike Pence appeared together officially for the first time this morning. Next up, the GOP convention in Cleveland, where there's an increased focus on security.
Thousands of federal, state, and local law enforcement officers are handling security and for months have prepared for all kinds of scenarios. Those plans have been reconsidered after the shooting targeting police in Dallas and the terror attack in Nice, France.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree, taking a look at traffic, seeing a crash right now in Fox Lake State Park between West Grass Lake and US 12. That's going to be closed. Multiple serious injuries. Medical helicopter requested to the scene, but the crash reportedly involved a truck hitting several pedestrians, so just stay clear if you can. Eden's Inn, Lake Oaks to the Junction at 38. Kennedy Inn O'Hare to downtown, 56-29 on the flip. Ike in from 53, just over an hour. The flip is at 39. And Stevenson in 355 to the draw at 45. It's 41 back out. The Ryan in from 95th at 20. And Lakeshore Drive has slowed down southbound. Fullerton to Chicago, 18th to the Stevenson. Northbound, 18th to Jackson. Picking up again, Wacker to Chicago. It's 76 and partly sunny now in Chicago. Tonight, 67 and clear. Tomorrow, 82 and thunderstorms. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority? Or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
I believe not only in protecting your retirement and making the growth going forward, but also having a tax-efficient retirement as well, because you want your retirement portfolios to generate an income stream that will last for your life, for your spouse's life, and if you have kids, that will pass on to the next generation as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer. answer.
I'm Shalom Klein. Join me each week for the Get Down to Business radio show. This show is packed with ideas that will inspire as you search for best practices to grow your business. Whether you are an experienced entrepreneur or just learning the ropes, Get Down to Business will tackle the issues affecting your everyday work life. Get Down to Business is powered by Tandem HR. Exceptional workplace, exceptional people. Listen each week to Get Down to Business with me, Shalom Klein. Heard tomorrow afternoon at 6, right here on AM 560.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, so today we're... Let's be clear, because it's important that we know what we're talking about. You know, the globe seems to be warming. There seems to be evidence about that, although, again, it's been kind of flat for 20 years. But over the last 100 years or so, the Earth has been warming. Is it man-made? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't really know. But I've heard claims that it is, and I've heard claims that it isn't, and they kind of both seem reasonable to me. And, you know, I suspect that saying that it's all man-made is an oversimplification, that there are lots of natural things going on that are causing this, that are underreported and people don't fully appreciate, that that generally climate is way more complex than these people suggest that it is. And I'm a finance guy, so I often look at what's your history in terms of your predictions. And these climate scientists who advocate for climate change and who think this is going on, they're just wrong. They've just been wrong over and over and over again in terms of their predictions. So why should I trust their predictions now? So I don't buy that it's just man-made. Maybe partially man-made. CO2 probably plays some role, but I don't know how important a role it plays. But then the thing that I completely reject, because there's zero evidence towards, is the idea that it is catastrophic, that we're all going to die, that you have to sacrifice now, that you have to give it all up now in the name of survival. That's complete nonsense. I was going to say a word that I'm not supposed to say on radio. And the fact is that they always claim this. This is a common thing, that to claim that, you know, unless you follow my directives, everybody's going to die. Unless you do what I tell you, everybody's going to die. And they've always come, you know, the powers to be always come up with an excuse about the end of the world is here. Climate change is just the latest. Some of you might have been around in the 1960s when Paul Ehrlich, I think in 1968, came out with a book, The Population Bomb. In 1968, Paul Ehrlich, a Stanford professor and somebody who's unbelievably respected to this day within the environmentalist movement, he's considered a hero. He predicted that we would run out of food, that hundreds of millions of people were going to die of starvation all out of Europe and America. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. He predicted that would happen in the 1970s, and it didn't happen. Quite the contrary. Food production went way up, much faster than growth in number of people. So did that discredit Paul Ehrlich? Did that convince people that this guy was a charlatan, that these people were charlatans? No, not at all. Didn't discredit him. We just said, oh, okay, we're not all going to die from a population explosion. We're going to die from something else. They just flip it, right? And then the early 1970s, the story was that because of pollution, we were going to die from global cooling. I've had headlines about the end of the world because of global cooling. And it didn't cool. And we didn't die. And they shifted it to global warming, and we're still not dead. And yet, everybody still believes in this nonsense. And they believe we're going to die. And we believe it. They believe it's the end of the world. What? And if you go further back, in the early 1960s, Rachel Carson came up with the idea that, you know, all these chemicals, they're going to cause cancer. We're all going to die from cancer. We're all going to die young. DDT is going to destroy us. So they banned DDT. They banned DDT, and of course, a million people die of malaria because we banned DDT. And how many lives have we saved because we banned? Nothing. So what the left does, and not just the left, the right does the same thing. Because right now, you know, one of the things that's exaggerated right now is crime rates. Crime is out of control. It's unsafe in America. We're all going to die because of crime. But crime rates are historical lows. Murder rates are at some of the lowest points. Now, last year was relatively high, particularly in Chicago. But generally, if you look at the trends since 1990, the trends on murder rates on all violent crime are down significantly, dramatically. Are we celebrating? Nope. Nope. We'd rather believe that there's crime is out of control and we should be afraid and scared. You've never been safer. Particularly you live in the suburbs. You don't live in the inner cities. You've never been safer. But we like the panic. We like the hysteria. Somehow that is something we thrive on. And I think all this, we're conditioned in a sense, conditioned, as I said before, by religion. We're conditioned to really think in these terms, thinks in terms of original sin. Something bad is going to happen because life is too good. We're conditioned to think that because we are doing well in life, because we're successful, because we in the West, particularly in America, are relatively rich, there's a price to pay. It can't be. This is too good to be true. Something bad's going to happen. And we're just waiting. We're just waiting for that bad thing to happen. And this goes back to original sin in Christianity. You know, we are sinful. We are bad. So good things can't happen to us. And if they do happen to us, there is going to be a price to be paid for it. And that price is substantial. That price is significant. The end of the world is that price. All right, you're listening, as you know, to the Yaron Brooks Show. We're here every Saturday at 4 p.m. Chicago time.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree, taking a look at traffic, still monitoring that closure because of the accident in Fox Lake at State Park between West Grass Lake and US 12. Multiple serious injuries with this crash. Medical helicopters have been requested to the scene, and it reportedly involved a truck hitting several motorcyclists. So stay away if you can. Eden's in Lake Hook to the junction. That's 40 minutes now because the Chewy area to the junction completely jammed up. Kennedy and O'Hare to downtown, 55-32 on the flip. Now we have the inbound Ike with big issues from north to St. Charles. Traffic just stopped from York. Everything being diverted to north. So not really knowing how long that's going to take you, but it's a big problem right now. The reverse out to 53 is 40 minutes. 76 and mostly sunny right now. Tonight, 67 and clear. Tomorrow, 82 and thunderstorms. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
If you could quickly and painlessly clear your psoriasis or vitiligo, would you?
No matter how big the psoriasis is, no matter how small the psoriasis, we can help you.
Ashley is a clinical specialist for Extract, the amazing in-office treatment for psoriasis and vitiligo that's clinically proven to show immediate results with up to 95% clearance.
What my patients love most about the Extract treatments is it's safe, it's FDA cleared, and they're seeing results very quickly.
End the embarrassing, painful patches and discoloration with Extract. There's no medications, no topical ointments, and virtually no side effects. Extract uses light to transform your skin in and change your life. It's covered by all major insurances and Medicare, and we'll help you find a doctor close by.
I love what I do. I love coming in every day and making a difference in patients' lives. It's amazing.
Call now to live Xtract Clear. Call 800-978-3554. That's 800-978-3554. 800-978-3554 or visit xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we're talking climate change, and we're talking why we're so gullible, we're so susceptible to these doomsday scenarios, and how religion plays a role in this, and how we're all kind of conditioned by religion to accept a new religion, environmentalism, climate change, end of the world, by any guise that you want. Carl, let me know, what do you think about climate change? Do you feel guilty about driving that SUV? Do you feel guilty about keeping the lights on in your home and by using electricity? Have they gotten to you? Have the climate change priests gotten to you? 312-642-5600. Are you listening to Yaron Brooks Show? What do you think? You think it's real? You think the world is coming to an end? What about crime? Are you living in terror of the increasing crime rates, even though statistically crime is declining all over the United States? What about any of the other kind of doomsdays? Do you have this feeling that the world, you know, a lot of libertarians, it's a lot of free market guys, the economy is going to collapse. It's just any day now it's going to collapse, and we're going to spiral out of control. We're going to be in the Great Depression. We're going to be in the Dark Ages. It's going to be so horrible. So stack up on gold and bury it in your backyard. Now, I'm not saying we're not heading towards some economic mess. I think we are. There's plenty of evidence to suggest that. But again, there's a certain hysteria associated with it among some people. And we buy into this. We latch onto that. And it's so easy, in a sense, to be pessimistic. And yet, if you live in America today, you're living some of the best life that anybody's ever lived on this planet. You know, we live long. We live relatively healthy. We live comfortable. We have supercomputers in our pockets. We have access to every piece of music ever written on our iPhones and through our televisions. We can see every show. You know, the quality of life potentially is unbelievable in terms of material wealth, in terms of what we materially have available to us. We've never had it so good. So what the hell? Why are we so depressed? Why do we seemingly see destruction around every corner? Why can't we be happy with the prosperity that we live under? And why? This is the kind of, we keep returning to this. Why do we want to destroy the system that has made it possible for us to be so prosperous and so wealthy materially? Capitalism. Capitalism is that system. And by the way, one of the reasons the climate change push climate change, one of the reasons for that is because they want to destroy capitalism. And capitalism spews out CO2. One of the methods by which you go after capitalism is by claiming it's going to destroy the planet. You know, you know what they say about environmentalists? They're like watermelons, green on the outside, red on the inside. Anti-industrialization, anti-progress, anti-capitalism, that's the essential view of the environmentalists. Okay, we got Mike on the line. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hi, I was listening to your question about why human beings tend to always fall on the negative side of the doomsday, you know, believing the doomsday stories and things of that nature.
Yep.
Well, I did some research on that. I was having some issues with depression and why. And I was talking to the doctor about why people are always look at the negative things. And he told me, in some of the things I read, that the human brain, and as with a lot of animals, is actually hardwired to look for the negative, to look for something bad all the time. That's how you survive in the wild. You know, looking for the carnivore behind the bushes. Things of that nature.
Yep.
There's a rustle in the bushes. You go, okay, it might be a tiger. That's negative.
Yep.
You
Yeah, no, I think there's an element of truth to that. I don't think it's completely that, because I think we're a lot less hardwired than people think we are. I think that's there. But, you know, one of the things we do as human beings is we think. We use reason. We use our rational minds. And we should be able to overcome that by looking out there and seeing all the good. And the fact that so many of these negative predictions never come true, you'd think we'd learn something from them, yet we don't. And I want to give some counterexamples, because maybe we have this hardwiring, maybe we don't. But look at entrepreneurs and business people who take huge risks and develop new companies and at an enormous risk. Say it's possible to overcome this, even if the hardwiring is there. Does that make sense, Mike?
Yeah, it does. That's part of what makes us human. Why we're so unique among all the creatures on the planet here is because all those emotions and those hardwired in things in our brains to allow us to survive, our logic and our consciousness overcomes. That's why we're human. And that's why men don't grab women and just, you know, co-create with them. We're human.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, what makes us human is our reason. It's our reasoning capacity. It's our ability to think logically. It's our ability to think rationally, to observe the world, to learn from it, and to integrate it into new ideas, to think. That's the most important thing you do in life, is to think. It's so depressing. What's so sad about the world is how few people actually think, how little they engage with this tool that makes us human. So many people survive and live on their emotions. So many people survive and live just by, you know, instinct, in a sense, emotional instinct. And that is catastrophic. That is catastrophic. And that's how these bad guys get away with this stuff. The way they get away with scaring us to death, the way they get away with taking control of our lives, reducing our freedom, is by relying on the fact that it seems like a majority of people don't think. And therefore, we're conditioned to feel. And emotions could be manipulated, and that's what we're seeing. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be back to summarize all this right after the break.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority? Or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-700-8145. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-700-8145. 1-800-700-8145.
Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So, you probably hear a lot about financial scams and how to avoid them and how to figure out what's a scam and what's real. Well, you need to do that on everything in life, because there's scammers out there constantly trying to use You know what they present as science? You know how you know whether something's scientific or not? Whether they're willing to really debate and exchange and have a discussion about it. But once you see people saying, oh, I can't talk about that, that's already proven truth. There is no question about it. And unless it's something obvious, like the world is round, then you know they're dealing, you're dealing more with religion than you are with actual science. So, no, don't. You've got to look for scams everywhere. They exist. They're all over the place. We're scammed about the need for big government. We're scammed about the hysteria around climate change and the end of the world. Always look at what are they trying to gain? If somebody's telling you that the only way for the earth or the world or life to keep going is for you to sacrifice your life, something's wrong there. Tells you that the only way the earth can survive is if human beings give up all their material possessions, basically by stopping to use carbon fuels. They're scamming you. They're scamming you. That can't be right. It can't be the case that in order to save the world, we need to die. That's a contradiction. All right? Let's say the globe is warming. So it's warming. Let's figure out how to solve that. Let's think about it. Let's figure it out. Buy more air conditioning. Maybe some people have to move from some place to another place. Maybe we can put something in the atmosphere that cools. I don't know. But it cannot be that the solution is stop using carbon fuels, stop civilization, stop progress. Just, you know, for what the scammers are trying to get, and almost always what they're trying to get is power over you. What they're trying to use is guilt to get you to change your behavior. What they're trying to use is, in a sense, they're trying to use the religious methodology. They're trying to reinterpret Christianity, if you will, secularize it. This is the guilt that is associated with original sin, the guilt that's associated with man as a flawed being, the guilt that's associated with man as self-destructive, in order to get you to give up your freedom to save you from yourself. Always look when you see a scam. What are they trying to achieve? And if what they're trying to achieve is power, what they want is less freedom for you, that's a good sign that it really, really, really is a scam. And you better run for the hills. Or fight it, even better. Fight it. That's what we do here at the Ayn Rand Institute. We fight these things. You can find out more about the Ayn Rand Institute at aynrand.org, aynrand.org. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Yaron Brook, YaronBrook. And keep listening here on the Yaron Brook Show every Saturday in Chicago at 4 p.m. Chicago time. We cover a whole gamut of topics, everything going on in the world and everything going on in your life and everything going on in my life. We try to offer rational alternatives to the hysteria and panic out there. We live in some of the safest, best times human beings have ever known. Enjoy them and fight those who would try to end our freedoms, to end our prosperity, and take control over our lives. You're listening to the Yaron Brook Show. I will talk to you next Saturday.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to aynrand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia